Need a voice? I'm your guy. SteveWebVoiceovers.com. The LifeSpring Family Bible is brought to you by TheGuyWithAFriendlyVoice.com. You can get 15% off any voiceover project I do for you just by mentioning that you heard it right here on the LifeSpring Family Bible. Hi, and welcome back to the LifeSpring Family Bible. I'm Steve Webb, your host, and this is episode number 282. Today we'll be going back briefly to the New Testament, where we read the book of 2 Thessalonians, a short little book, and then we'll be going back to the Old Testament and the book of Jeremiah, the first two chapters. Are you ready? Let's begin. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. From Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith flourishes more and more, and the love of each one of you all for one another is ever greater. As a result, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and afflictions you are enduring. This is evidence of God's righteous judgment, to make you worthy of the kingdom of God, for which in fact you are suffering. For it is right for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to you who are being afflicted, to give rest together with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. With flaming fire he will mete out punishment on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will undergo the penalty of eternal destruction, away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his strength, when he comes to be glorified among his saints and admired on that day among all who have believed, and you did in fact believe our testimony. And in this regard we pray for you always, that our God will make you worthy of his calling and fulfill by his power your every desire for goodness and every work of faith, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, regarding the arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to be with him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to be easily shaken from your composure or disturbed by any kind of spirit or message or letter allegedly from us to the effect that the day of the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not arrive until the rebellion comes and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, and as a result, he takes his seat in God's temple, displaying himself as God. Surely you recall that I used to tell you these things while I was still with you. And so you know what holds him back, so that he will be revealed in his own time. For the hidden power of lawlessness is already at work. However, the one who holds him back will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will destroy by the breath of his mouth and wipe out by the manifestation of his arrival. The arrival of the lawless one will be by Satan's working with all kinds of miracles and signs and false wonders, and with every kind of evil deception directed against those who are perishing because they found no place in their hearts for the truth so as to be saved. Consequently, God sends on them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. And so all of them who have not believed the truth but have delighted in evil will be condemned. But we ought to thank God always for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. He called you to this salvation through our gospel, so that you may possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold on to the traditions that we taught you, whether by speech or by letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good thing you do or say. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, pray for us, brothers and sisters, that the Lord's message may spread quickly and be honored as in fact it was among you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil people. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And we are confident about you in the Lord that you are both doing and will do what we are commanding. Now may the Lord direct your hearts toward the love of God and the endurance of Christ. But we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from any brother who lives an undisciplined life and not according to the tradition they received from us. For you know yourselves how you must imitate us, because we did not behave without discipline among you, and we did not eat anyone's food without paying. Instead, in toil and drudgery we worked night and day in order not to burden any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but give ourselves as an example for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, neither should he eat. For we hear that some among you are living an undisciplined life, not doing their own work, but meddling in the work of others. Now such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to work quietly, and so provide their own food to eat. But you, brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in doing what is right. But if anyone does not obey our message through this letter, take note of him and do not associate closely with him, so that he may be ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, which is how I write every letter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Jeremiah chapter 1. The following is a record of what Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, prophesied. He was one of the priests who lived at Anathoth in the territory of the tribe of Benjamin. The Lord began to speak to him in the 13th year that Josiah, son of Amon, ruled over Judah. The Lord also spoke to him when Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, ruled over Judah, and he continued to speak to him until the 5th month of the 11th year that Zedekiah, son of Josiah, ruled over Judah. That was when the people of Jerusalem were taken into exile. The Lord said to me, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be prophet to the nations." I answered, "O Lord God, I really do not know how to speak well enough for that, for I am too young." The Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young,' but go to whomever I send you and say whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of those to whom I send you, for I will be with you to protect you, says the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I will most assuredly give you the words you are to speak for me. Know for certain that I hereby give you the authority to announce to nations and kingdoms that they will be uprooted and torn down, destroyed and demolished, rebuilt and firmly planted." Later the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" I answered, "I see a branch of an almond tree." Then the Lord said, "You have observed correctly. This means I am watching to make sure my threats are carried out." The Lord again asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a pot of boiling water. It is tipped forward as from the north." Then the Lord said, "This means destruction will break out from the north on all who live in the land. For I will soon summon all the peoples of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They will come and their kings will set up their thrones near the entrances of the gates of Jerusalem. They will attack all the walls surrounding it and all the towns in Judah. In this way I will pass sentence on the people of Jerusalem and Judah because of all their wickedness. For they rejected me and offered sacrifices to other gods, worshiping what they made with their own hands. But you, Jeremiah, get yourself ready. Go and tell these people everything I instruct you to say. Do not be terrified of them, or I will give you good reason to be terrified of them. I, the Lord, hereby promise to make you as strong as a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall. You will be able to stand up against all who live in the land, including the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and all the people of the land. They will attack you, but will not be able to overcome you, for I will be with you to rescue you, says the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 2. The Lord spoke to me. He said, "Go and declare in the hearing of the people of Jerusalem, 'This is what the Lord says. I have fond memories of you, how devoted you were to me in your early years. I remember how you loved me like a new bride. You followed me through the wilderness, through a land that had never been planted. Israel was set apart to the Lord. They were like the first fruits of a harvest to him. All who tried to devour them were punished. Disaster came upon them, says the Lord. Now listen to what the Lord has to say, you descendants of Jacob, all you family groups from the nation of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault could your ancestors have possibly found in me that they strayed so far from me? They paid allegiance to worthless idols, and so became worthless to me. They did not ask, "Where is the Lord who delivered us out of Egypt, who brought us through the wilderness, through a land of desert sands and rift valleys, through a land of drought and deep darkness, through a land in which no one travels and where no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land so you could enjoy its fruits and its rich bounty. But when you entered my land, you defiled it. You made the land I call my own loathsome to me. Your priests did not ask, 'Where is the Lord?' Those responsible for teaching my law did not really know me. Your rulers rebelled against me. Your prophets prophesied in the name of the god Baal. They all worshipped idols that could not help them. So, once more, I will state my case against you, says the Lord. I will also state it against your children and grandchildren. Go west across the sea to the coasts of Cyprus and see. Send someone east to Kedar and have them look carefully. See if such a thing as this has ever happened. Has a nation ever changed its gods, even though they are not really gods at all? But my people have exchanged me, their glorious God, for a God that cannot help them at all. Be amazed at this, O heavens. Be shocked and utterly dumbfounded, says the Lord. Do so because my people have committed a double wrong. They have rejected me, the fountain of life-giving water, and they have dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns which cannot even hold water. Israel is not a slave, is he? He was not born into slavery, was he? If not, why then is he being carried off? Like lions, his enemies roar victoriously over him. They raise their voices in triumph. They have laid his land waste. His cities have been burned down and deserted. Even the soldiers from Memphis and Tapanhas have cracked your skulls, people of Israel. You have brought all this on yourself, Israel, by deserting the Lord your God when he was leading you along the right path. What good will it do you then to go down to Egypt to seek help from the Egyptians? What good will it do you to go over to Assyria to seek help from the Assyrians? Your own wickedness will bring about your punishment. Your unfaithful acts will bring down discipline on you. Know then and realize how utterly harmful it was for you to reject me, the Lord your God, to show no respect for me, says the Lord God who rules over all. Indeed, long ago you threw off my authority and refused to be subject to me. You said, 'I will not serve you.' Instead, you gave yourself to other gods on every high hill and under every green tree, like a prostitute sprawls out before her lovers. I planted you in the land like a special vine of the very best stock. Why in the world have you turned into something like a wild vine that produces rotten, foul-smelling grapes? You can try to wash away your guilt with a strong detergent. You can use as much soap as you want, but the stain of your guilt is still there for me to see, says the Lord God. How can you say, 'I have not made myself unclean. I have not paid allegiance to the gods called Baal.' Just look at the way you've behaved in the Valley of Hinnom. Think about the things you've done there. You are like a flighty young female camel that rushes here and there, crisscrossing its path. You are like a wild female donkey brought up in the wilderness. In her lust, she sniffs the wind to get the scent of a male. No one can hold her back when she is in heat. None of the males need wear themselves out chasing her. At mating time, she is easy to find. Do not chase after other gods until your shoes wear out and your throats become dry. But you say, 'It is useless for you to try to stop me because I love those foreign gods and want to pursue them.' Just as a thief has to suffer dishonor when he is caught, so the people of Israel will suffer dishonor for what they have done. So will their kings and officials, their priests and their prophets. They say to a wooden idol, 'You are my father.' They say to a stone image, 'You gave birth to me.' Yes, they have turned away from me instead of turning to me. Yet when they are in trouble, they say, 'Come and save us.' But where are the gods you made for yourselves? Let them save you when you're in trouble. The sad fact is that you have as many gods as you have towns, Judah. Why do you try to refute me? All of you have rebelled against me, says the Lord. It did no good for me to punish your people. They did not respond to such correction. You slaughtered your prophets like a voracious lion. You people of this generation, listen to what the Lord says. Have I been like a wilderness to you, Israel? Have I been like a dark and dangerous land to you? Why then do you say, 'We are free to wander. We will not come to you anymore.' Does a young woman forget to put on her jewels? Does a bride forget to put on her bridal attire? But my people have forgotten me for more days than can ever be counted. My, how good you have become at chasing after your lovers. Why, you could even teach prostitutes a thing or two. Even your clothes are stained with the lifeblood of the poor who had not done anything wrong. You did not catch them breaking into your homes. Yet in spite of all these things you have done, you say, I have not done anything wrong, so the Lord cannot really be angry with me anymore. But watch out. I will bring down judgment on you because you say, I have not committed any sin. Why do you constantly go about changing your political allegiances? You will get no help from Egypt just as you got no help from Assyria. Moreover, you will come away from Egypt with your hands covering your faces in sorrow and shame, because the Lord will not allow your reliance on them to be successful, and you will not gain any help from them. Well, how often do you suppose Israel turned their backs on God? I haven't counted them up, but it was many, many times. In these chapters in Jeremiah, God sounds as if he's a jealous husband, which in many ways he is. The church is called the Bride of Christ, right? He sounds hurt and heartbroken, and well, he should be. Well, come on back tomorrow and we will continue in the book of Jeremiah. Thank you so much for being with me today. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb.
The LifeSpring Family Bible is brought to you by listeners like you, In Touch Productions, and Steve Webb Voiceovers. If you'd like to know how you can support the show, you can find details at support.lifespringmedia.com. If you have a business, In Touch Productions is the company I created to produce media of all kinds. At In Touch, we've created WordPress websites for our clients, produced corporate videos, audiobooks, and consulted on the creation of lots of different podcasts. At Steve Webb Voiceovers, I've been the voice for companies and churches around the world, on the radio, on the internet, and in the boardroom. If your company or your church is looking for one of the services we provide, drop me a line at steve@stevewebb.net. I'd love to work with you. Thanks.